Chairman, our hymn was pleased to Hymn of Praise, number 154, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Stand as you are able. Please join me in reciting the Apostles' Creed on page 881. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father. In my church, we come to the pastoral prayer. We usually start, if anybody has any praises, and then we go to any prayers that we need to have for our friends and neighbors and family. So I'm going to start and say, are there any praises today?
Pastor, I've got to share with you, sometimes my weeks are kind of tough, but this week has been an interesting week. We think about prayer sometimes and we don't realize. I was mowing the other day. I got one part mowed. I was trying to finish up a couple days later, and I was really close, and it started sprinkling. And I said, Lord, please let me get this done. Let me get this done. I finished. I pulled the mower up on the pad. I dawdled just a little bit and went inside first, and it started sprinkling again. And I ran out and pulled it inside, and the sky opened up. And I didn't forget. I did. I looked up, and I said, thank you, Lord. Now, somebody told me the other day when I was sharing this, they said, you know, Larry, he was trying to show you don't dawdle around. He gave you the opportunity. You were through. You should have went straight into the rock. A second this week that happened, I was at Subway picking up something for lunch. And a lady in front of me, she was ordering a couple of sandwiches. And I don't know what started us talking. And we shared a couple of things. I had no idea who she was. And then I got to listening to a conversation that was going on with a mother and a child on a cell phone, which is interesting. And then when I got up to the line to pay for everything, she handed it to me and she said, you're good. And I said, how much? She said, oh, sir, it's been paid for. That's never happened to me, and that I can never remember anything like that. And to me, that's a part of God working again. And then third, three times this week, I had to make a call to the bank because of check didn't make it to somebody. And we talked, they sent me over to the buddy to talk with, chatted. We got off about weather. We had a couple of sides. Young, I could tell he was a young person. And when it was over, he said, sir, I just want to thank you. You have made my day. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, I've been cursed out, screamed at, hollered at three times today by people. And he said, you have been so pleasant, so nice, willing to talk with me. He said, literally, you have made my day. So God is at work. Sometimes I think we just don't realize what he's doing for us and for other people. Think about that this week.
Thank you for sharing. Well, I've got a couple of praises myself. First of all, I want to praise that today I had to come back to my old stomping grounds at Roane County. Always be a warm spot in my heart. I was born and raised in Roane County, and I guess I will end up being buried in Roane County. I also have a praise for this beautiful church that you have. It really is magnificent. And it's an honor for me to be able to give God's word message today in this beautiful church. And I thank you for the opportunity, and I thank Reverend Reese for the opportunity. There's not any more praises. Let's talk about prayers. I know in the bulletin it lists a number of people for prayer. I was taught a long time ago by an older man that you only have to mention the name, and God knows their whole story, and he knows what they need. So we printed their names, but are there others that we want to lift up today in prayer? Okay. Donna Macklin. There was someone here. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to ask for continued prayers for my mother in London, Kentucky. She's doing so, but she needs prayer. She's 90. And also, we're getting ready.
Are there any others? Okay, let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today with humble hearts, open hearts, and a full heart. And we ask you to pass your restorative powers and your healing hand over those people that were mentioned in the bulletin today, and especially the two that were mentioned today, Donna Macklin and the mother in Kentucky. We know full well that we are never alone, because as our God, you're always with us. We only have to seek you to find that you are with us. We're never alone. We ask you to help our nation be healed and united. We thank you for the military personnel who keep us safe, and our law enforcement, our first responders. They have dedicated their lives to our safety. We thank you for this church, this congregation. We thank you for the minister who is here, and Reverend Reese. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for the freedom to worship you as we please in this great nation that we have. We pray now as Christ has taught us to pray. Our Heavenly Father, how will be this day? I'm sorry, I am remiss. If you could help me with the Lord's Prayer, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For that is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I think being nervous with you all today has caused me to have a senior moment. And God whispered in my ear and said, you know, Bardell, if you can handle it, the congregation can help you. So at this time, we will do our offering. Heavenly Father, please accept these humble gifts from your people in love and dedication and support of the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn your hymnals, please, to 568 for our hymn of preparation. I'm not used to having the words behind me. I was going to the book. We have two services at my church in Corrington. One's a temporary at 9 o'clock, and then the regular church service at 11. At the contemporary, they have the song on the boards. We don't have it at 11 o'clock, so I'm not used to all that fandangled, fancy stuff. Okay, we'll have a musical selection now.
How are we doing back there, Keith? Okay. All right. So, we're going to hold this for next week.
And I'm not going to fill in with a solo either. I don't want to go back to Knoxville on a rail with tarred and feathers. I want to take just a moment before I do the scripture and the message. I think it's important that you at least need to know who this guy is standing here. As I said, I'm from Roane County. I was born and raised in Harriman, Tennessee, and left at 17 to go to college in Cookeville, whereupon I later was commissioned as an officer in the United States Army, and that was my career for 24 years. After that, I started ROTC at Jellico High School for 4 years, and then I served 12 years working as a food broker. Then I retired. Grew up in United Methodist Church in Harriman, was baptized in the Baptist Church across the street because it was winter time and we wanted to be immersed and it was too cold to go to the river. So I had a packed house along with my best friend. When I got the email asking if I would be available, even though it's down the road from me, and I saw it was Rockwood, but I did not hesitate. I hit that email button and I sent back and said, "You're right, I am going to do it." Okay? It was a chance to come home in a way. Come home to the best part of my life until I met my wife. Now she's taking care of the rest of it. I've come late in years, as it turns out, to be a lay speaker. Happened about 7 years ago. I don't know why. The Army allowed me to have a good voice. And I was a speaker in the Speaker's Bureau at military bases, and I was also did speaking as part of the college upstate New York. So I knew what it would take. And I then figured out it was the only talent that I had, if you could call it that. Okay? And so I began to study and do the coursework for lay speaking and then to be able to pitch it for ministers when they're out. Mainly my church. This is only the second time I've been outside my church to do it. And then I felt like I was called to do a step further to be a lay minister. And so I went through training this year, and I expect to be called before the Board of Ordained Ministry in August to be a lay minister. And my covenant with my church is pastoral care. I currently volunteer at Tenoba Hospital to see patients as a volunteer chaplain. I will be visiting assisted living, nursing homes, and shut-ins because I want to stay within my church. Otherwise, they would give me a church, given the number of churches that are available or the small congregations. But I just want to let you know who I am. First of all, I'm a sinner. I'm sure God has got an Encyclopedia Britannica of books on all my shortcomings. If he hasn't, my wife will inform him when she goes of my shortcomings. But I am a proud disciple and a lover of Jesus Christ, and he's given me so much, so many blessings. A great wife who was a great army wife, a great son who lives in Sodom and Gomorrah called L.A. I was just there, and it's not getting any better. But I thought, at least I want to introduce myself to you so you know who I am. I'm one of you. The scripture today comes from the New Testament, Luke 9, verses 23 through 27. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. For I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. My message today, a Christian and the cross today. When I grew up in Harriman, July, summer, it was a time of revivals. Put up the big green army tent. Everybody came dressed a sweat. Heard all the old hymns. Amazing Grace. Give me that old time religion. Closer walk with thee. Usually it ended at night, the service, with people coming forward on bended knees to say that they were saved and they repented their sins. So I thought, you know what, it's July. Let's have a mini revival today. It will not last until the night. It won't last that long at all. But I'm going to give you a message of what I think is a revival today. I'll start with a children's Sunday school class. There was a second grade Sunday school teacher who decided she wanted her class to memorize and recite the 23rd Psalm, the most recited psalm in the Bible. So she gave them a week, and on the next Sunday they were going to get up at a microphone and recite the 23rd Psalm. Billy, though, had a problem. He practiced every day, time and time again, and he couldn't get past the first line. Finally, Sunday arrived. Billy sat nervously in the back row. Name after name was called, and the child got up and recited. Then he heard, "Billy, it's your turn." Billy got up, straightened himself, leaned into the mic and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that is all I know." Now, as Christians, do we need to know more? The answer lies in each and every church in America today. We are living in a day when the message of the church is changing. Churches and even whole denominations are moving away from the old message of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ and moving to the message of salvation through social activism and good works. I personally would like to return to the message from that old rugged cross on Calvary years ago. That event that 2,000 plus years ago changed the future for every one of us who places our faith in Jesus Christ. What a message that was. Life after death. For the Jews who were looking for a Messiah to lead them in a rebellion against the Roman Empire and throw off the shackles of being slaves to the Romans, they missed the fact that the Messiah they got would die to free them and everyone from their sins, a much greater victory than that over the Roman Empire. Today, far too many Christians need to remember the whole story. Several years ago, myself and several other couples with our wives went to the Coliseum in Knoxville for the Living Christmas Tree celebration in December. The men were all veterans like me, and all the wives were Germans like my wife. And we went to it. And it started with the Nativity, started with Mary, the Nativity. It went all the way through to the crucifixion and the resurrection. Now afterwards, good German tradition, go to somebody's house and for coffee and cake. So that's what we did. I had to sit at a table with three of the wives as we were separated by seating. And one of them was very upset. How dare they show the crucifixion at a Christmas event? She said, "We came to see the Nativity and the birth of Christ. Why are we subjected to the horror of Christ being crucified?" Because you see, she and too many people celebrate two events that are not connected. We celebrate Christ's birth in December, Merry Christmas, and then we celebrate in April, May, Easter, His death and resurrection. But you see, if there wasn't His death and resurrection, why would we celebrate the birth of a Jew in Palestine, Jerusalem, that area? That birth meant something because of the end result for us as Christians. When Easter weekend comes upon us, let's remember what our Lord went through. It's not a pretty picture. He was scourged. A lot of people under Roman rule, when they were scourged, they died on the spot. He survived the scourging only to be bitten, beaten, spat upon, hair pulled from his beard, mocked, stripped naked, nailed to a cross, and left to die. Now that's a very disturbing picture. But his death at the cross is a necessary truth. One way to get to God, that's by the way of the cross. Today, our modern churches, too many present many ways to salvation. They minimize the importance of Jesus Christ. There's even a denomination based on that. But it's for us to accept by faith the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. In Romans 10, verses 9 through 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and by confessing with your mouth, you will be saved. Churches today are full of people who are totally confused about the gospel. And we have many more people outside the church that are even more confused. There are people saying in pews of Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, and Baptist churches, as well as Catholic cathedrals, that are confused. The gospel has become so muddied, they don't know the truth. This is what knowing and telling people what the cross is about. Some believe there are multiple paths to God, and as I said, minimizes Jesus' importance. Truth is, the Bible does not contain the words of God. It is the Word of God. There's no error in the whole of Scripture inspired by God. It is about you coming to Jesus by faith. The faith that the blood of the Lamb shed for us has saved us from our sins and Satan. In John 5:24, Jesus says, "We will never be condemned. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. But they will never be condemned for their sins. But they have already passed from death into life." In John 14:6, Jesus clearly gives his statement of the only way to get to heaven. "I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Your good works, profession of how good you are, and all those things associated with your good activities in this world will not save you. Now, as a young boy growing up, one of my favorite actors or actresses was Sophia Loren. Today, the list of those I like from Hollywood is on a very short list, given what's been going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. A beautiful and a talented actress. Her nickname after the war, translated from Italian, was the Stick, because she was so impoverished from starving in Italy. And of course, she really changed from that depiction. Beautiful and talented woman. But you know what? Even she has got it wrong. In an interview she did one time with USA Today, let me read you what she said. "I am not a practitioner, but I pray. I read the Bible. It's the most beautiful book ever written. I should go to heaven. Otherwise, it's not nice. I haven't done anything wrong. My conscience is very clear. My soul is as white as an orchid, and I should go straight to heaven." What's missing from her message? What's missing from that interview? Where is her profession of faith in Jesus Christ for her to go to heaven? Her Savior, her beauty, her praying, her reading the Bible, supposedly clear conscience and spotless soul are not found in the Bible she reads. I hope for her soul that she now knows that she needs Jesus Christ in her life. As Christians, we must always remember the cross and that we should be more Christ-like in our actions, especially in public where it affects others. Several years ago, we did a little course of study on Sunday nights using a book looking at why people don't go to church. What is it that keeps people from going to church? What is it that turns people off from going to church? Well, after 6 weeks of study, it came down to one thing. A lot of it was what they thought were hypocrites going to church. People that they knew prayed on Sunday and forgot on Monday. And that was the biggest turnoff to a lot of people. And it may be today. And I'll give you an example. A police officer pulled over a driver on Kingston Pike and asked him for his license and registration. And the driver said, "Officer, what did I do wrong? I wasn't speeding. I didn't go through a stop light or a stop sign." And the officer said, "No, you didn't do any of those things. But I saw you swerve around a woman shaking your fist that had cut you off. You pulled right in front of her, still shaking your fist. Your face was red and flushed. And when you got to the red light, you slammed your brakes on and you beat on the steering wheel." And the driver says, "Well, is that a crime?" He said, "Well, no. But there was a bumper sticker on this car that said, 'Jesus loves you and so do I.'" And he said, "I figured the car must be stolen." You know, I subscribe to that story because I'm the idiot that does some of that. I don't have any patience. I pray to God for patience, and he says, "You're a hopeless cause." But I still pray, okay? And if you drive in Knoxville, I don't think Jesus Christ would have patience with what you have to go through, okay? And there are times when people are slamming in front of me. It's raining. You know, you got to drive carefully. Boom, let me pull out in front of you. A guy was pulling a bass boat and pulled from the side to a cutaway, so his boat is covering both lanes. Now, if I had a dump truck, I'd have put that bass boat in another lane, let me tell you. So I have done that too. That's why you will not find a bumper sticker on my car that says, "Jesus loves you, so do I." Because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Now, one of the many stories of our evangelist, John Wesley, illustrates what power we have when we share the good news. He was returning from a service one night when he was jumped by a robber who demanded money for his life. He only had a little bit of money. He had a lot of religious literature with him. So the thief took what he had. And as the bandit was leaving, John called out to him and says, "I have something more to give you." Well, the robber stopped. "Oh, I got more." He turns around. He says, "Here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. One day you'll come to regret the life you're living, and you'll come to Christ." The thief turned away, and Wesley prayed after him. Now, many years later, after a service, he was outside shaking hands, greeting the people from church, when a stranger walked up to him, dressed in a fine suit. He recognized him as the robber from years before, who has since come to God, asked for forgiveness of his sins, and has become a successful businessman. And the man shook John's hand, and he said, "I want to thank you because you saved my life." And John Wesley said, "I didn't do it. The blood of Jesus Christ saved you." Now, I'm going to close with a story from another evangelist, Billy Graham. He noted on the 100th anniversary of the Statue of Liberty, he was struck by the number of immigrants who left everything behind, only the clothes on their back, risking their lives for something more valuable, freedom. He said, "Their experience is a picture of what we must do when we come to Christ. We must forgive our allegiance to this world and all that it offers and become citizens of a new kingdom." His Statue of Liberty is in the form of the cross. The statue in New York Harbor lifts her lamp beside the door to freedom. The Statue of Liberty on that hillside outside Jerusalem lights the way to eternal life. Has the blood of Jesus Christ been applied to your life? Is your faith in Jesus and in Him alone? If you need to come to the cross and Jesus this morning for answers to your prayers, the altar is open, as it always is. You can come while the Lord is dealing with your heart and leave your problems at the altar with God today. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our freedom to worship today. We thank you for all that you bestowed on us as blessings. And we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and gave his salvation so we may live with you forever in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll now have our hymn of discipleship, number 365. I want to thank you all for coming today. I want to thank you all for your support and putting up with me. I want to thank you most of all for being Christ's disciples. And so now our benediction. Go in peace and in love and spread the good news of Jesus Christ who died for our sins. Touch someone else with your love and devotion and remember He who gave us everything. In Jesus' name, amen.